What if the world was different?
Science fiction is usually utopian or dystopian, either unrealistically good or unbelievably bad. There doesn't seem to be much in the middle.
But what if we looked at science fiction differently? What if we instead looked at a realistic world?
A believable world.
This is the world of Bellatopia.
In this episode of Bellatopia,
the Apollo space program was much more than a set of missions to the moon. It was also a technology platform. A technology platform that provided the basis for future space programs. A technology platform that the Apollo Applications Program was created to leverage and enhance. In real life, not much came of the Apollo Applications Program. Very little funding was given to the program, and the program suffered. The Skylab space station that was stunted and damaged, and Apollo-Soyuz's political mission, which accomplished a handshake in space. This was the limit of what the Apollo Applications Program actually accomplished in real life. Not much of real value. So much lost potential. This is what happened in the real world. But we're not in the real world. The Apollo Applications Program. Welcome to Bellatopia. From the space program to high-speed trains.
From bridges to artificial intelligence.
From pop culture to politics and war to religion.
Bellatopia is about the world of what if.
What if different decisions were made in our history? Different priorities held by our leaders.
Different politics involved.
Let's see the world as it could have been, perhaps should have been,
and might still become.
Welcome to Bellatopia. In the last episode, we talked about the Apollo program to the moon. This was certainly the primary purpose of Project Apollo, and a purpose that drove the funding of the program. But now that the Apollo technology exists, what else can the technology be used for? This is where a new program comes into play, the Apollo Applications Program, or AAP. This was a real program created in 1966 by NASA to develop science-based human spaceflight missions that were a follow-on to the Apollo moon landings. The program was to leverage and expand the Apollo infrastructure into purposes beyond the moon. During the height of the Apollo days, when space funding was an all-time high, the AAP made ambitious plans for space programs beyond the Apollo moon missions. In reality, the Johnson administration declined to support it completely, and President Nixon was notorious for his lack of support for the space program. Therefore, most of AAP's ambitious plans never came to life. The only things that really came out of the AAP, in reality, were an extremely scaled-down Skylab program and the Apollo-Soyuz test project mission. The rest of AAP was abandoned. But what would have happened if the space race funding had continued? If Johnson and Nixon had supported the AAP program? In our Bellatopia universe, we are going to assume that AAP was funded at their desired level and all programs were fully funded. What follows is a fictional documentary that takes place in the year 2040, 80 years after the start of the space program. This mockumentary, titled Our World in Space, is similar to the mockumentary we had in the last episode, and this one describes the history of the Apollo Applications Program in greater detail, as a historical record of past events. It's a future view of our historical record. While fiction, it's based on much thought and consideration on what could have happened, along with plans that were actually in the works at NASA before funding was cut. This mockumentary is about the history of our expanded use of Apollo-era technology to enhance our presence in space, here in the world of Bellatopia.
Entering the world of Bellatopia, the year 2040.
This is the documentary, Our World in Space.
Hello, Hello, and welcome to Our World in Space, the Apollo Applications Program. The Apollo Applications Program, the NASA program created in 1966, 75 years ago, was designed to create plans for Apollo technology for uses beyond voyages to the moon. The program was initially an informal committee of the old NASA organization that met and created an outline of plans for the future of Apollo. Among the initial ideas created by this group were the first manned space station in low Earth orbit, flyby missions to other planets, and permanent bases on the moon. But these were just ideas, and the thought process of what to do with Apollo technology was just starting. After all, in 1966, it would be 3 years before the first man even walked on the moon. By the end of 1969, interest in space was at an all-time high. There were already staffed and planned programs for building the next generation of space technology beyond Apollo, but there was sincere belief that the Apollo technology itself had other uses in the short term that could escalate our ability to perform meaningful, engaging, and perhaps even profitable missions for significantly less development time and cost than was needed for new programs. Given this, the Apollo application program was enhanced and expanded. A director was assigned, separate from the director of NASA, to specifically focus on the AAP. And in October of 1969, William Pickering, the former director of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, was appointed to head the Apollo Applications Program. And on July 20th, 1971, 2 years to the date after Neil Armstrong's historic Apollo moonwalk, the Apollo Applications Program was formally separated from NASA as a distinct organization with a mission of continued use and expansion of existing Apollo technologies. Meanwhile, NASA was tasked with long-term development of new technology for space exploration. AAP now had a mission, it had a leader, and it had funding necessary to carry out its goals, separate and distinct from NASA. AAP started working on a number of programs in order to successfully realize the organization's mission. AAP took a three-pronged attack to utilizing Apollo technology. Prong 1. Prong 1 was manned space stations in orbit around Earth. This was the subject of Project Skylab. The idea was to launch a fully built space station on top of a Saturn V rocket into low Earth orbit. Once in orbit in space, follow-on missions in Apollo command and service modules were sent to live and perform research in space. In all, three Skylab space stations were created as part of the AAP. They were in operation from 1971 for Skylab 1 until the decommissioning of Skylab 3 in 1983. In all, three Skylab space stations were created as part of the AAP. They were in operation from 1971 until the decommissioning of the last Skylab in 1983. The first Skylab, Skylab 1, was launched in October of 1971 and was primarily designed to see how long-term weightlessness would impact the human body. It was operational for about 18 months before it was decommissioned in April of 1973. Skylab 2, which launched in May of 1973, was designed as a replacement for the original Skylab 1. It resolved some of the early glitches in the original Skylab and continued the research of that program into long-term impact of weightlessness on the human body. It stayed operational for almost 4 years until February of 1977, when it too was decommissioned. Skylab 3, launched in March of 1976, was a research station used for testing technology for building and maintaining a permanent presence in space. Much was learned about how to keep a space station operational for the long term, and Skylab 3 itself proved extremely robust. It stayed operational until January of 1981. The research it performed during its 5-year mission was highly valuable during the creation of the first planned permanent space station, which was, as we know, Space Station Freedom, which initially was constructed in 1984. Prong 2. The long-duration research from Skylab 1 was absolutely necessary for the implementation of Prong 2. Prong 2 was deep space exploration beyond the lunar surface. AAP created plans for a series of 3 flyby missions of the planet Venus. The first one, the quite famous Bicentennial Venus flyby mission, was launched in 1975 and successfully returned in May of 1976, in time for the United States Bicentennial Celebration. This was undoubtedly the most famous mission of the AAP era. That mission single-handedly created more interest in space than Neil Armstrong's original steps on the moon. The two follow-on Venus flyby missions, however, and a proposed flyby of Mars, never happened within the scope of the Apollo Applications Program. The Bicentennial Venus flyby mission demonstrated the vulnerability of the single Apollo SPS engine on the back of the service module. Even though the crisis was averted with the Christmas miracle burn, it proved that a single SPS engine with no backup was an extremely risky ship design that made the Apollo Command Service Module unsuitable for future long-distance missions to other planets. Instead, the future of long-duration, deep space voyages was in the hands of technology beyond Apollo, and destined to be accomplished only by other teams and future technological advancement. Prong 3. The third prong of the Apollo Applications Program was an enhanced communication network across the Earth-Moon system. This involved the creation of several communication satellites that were placed in geosynchronous Earth orbit and several communication satellites that were placed in orbit around the Moon. The lunar satellites were not in geosynchronous lunar orbit because such an orbit was not viable. The lunar satellites were in low orbit around the Moon. To facilitate communications between the Earth and lunar satellites, another set of satellites were sent to orbit the Earth-Moon L4 and L5 Lagrange points. These points are essentially equivalent to a lunar geosynchronous orbit, as a satellite in orbit around one of these points appears in a stationary position when observed from the lunar surface. This allowed stationary satellite dishes on the lunar surface to send signals to the satellite network in space. When a station on the lunar surface was not in line of sight with one of the Lagrange satellites, the low lunar orbit satellites were used instead. The effect of this network of satellites was to create a network where no place on Earth and no place on the Moon were out of communications range from each other. This was a communications miracle at the time. This network, which used network protocols similar to those used by the early Earth-based ARPANET system, was completed in 1983. 11 years later, in 1994, this network was enhanced to connect to the fledgling new internet technology that was taking Earth-based humans by storm, and this allowed all humans, no matter where they were in the Earth-Moon system, to be in network communication with each other. This vast Earth-Moon network was initiated, starting in 1977, by the Apollo Application Program Organization. In all, the Apollo Application Program made extensive use of Apollo technology for programs well beyond those of simply landing on the Moon. The Apollo Application Program functioned until 1983. By then, Skylab was winding down, the Venus trip was over, and the initial Earth-Moon communication system was largely in place. It was time to begin focusing on programs and technologies beyond Project Apollo. The Apollo technology was originally developed in the 1960s and had been enhanced significantly through three decades. By 1983, though, it was largely over, and new technology was required. On March 4, 1984, the Apollo Application Program was officially canceled, and those involved working on it went on to work on newer, more advanced space technology. Apollo got us to the Moon. The Apollo Application Program gave us significant additional value for that investment. AAP would go down in history as one of the early, hugely significant advancements in the history of space exploration.
This is the end of the documentary, Our World in Space.
Brought to you straight from the year 2040.
We now return you to the present day.
That was the documentary from Bellatopia, describing how the Apollo Application Program created a highly successful, highly valuable, and highly influential program of missions beyond those to the Moon. This episode was a brief introduction to several programs and missions that were based on Apollo technology, along with a history of the organization parallel to NASA named AAP. None of the programs and missions were covered in detail, but we will talk about each of these programs and missions in much greater detail in later episodes in this season of Bellatopia. Additionally, The documentary hinted at another space station named Space Station Freedom. Space Station Freedom was the first planned space station not based on Apollo technology and was to be a permanently crewed station. We will discuss that station in Bellatopia and compare it to its real-life counterpart, the International Space Station, in a future episode later this season. The distinction between Space Station's Freedom and the International Space Station will also give hints to some of the non-space program changes in the realm of world politics, in the world of Bellatopia. These earthbound, worldwide differences are a different dimension to the what-ifs that make up the world of Bellatopia. These topics will be the subject of future seasons of this podcast. If you enjoyed this documentary about the Apollo application program in Bellatopia and would like more information about the AAP program in Bellatopia, please go to our website at bellatopia.com/AAP.
This week in Bellatopia history, 2023.
July 1st, 2023 was the day that California passed the California Free Trade Bill. This was the famous bill that removed all tariffs from China and other countries for products sold directly to California, effectively bypassing all United States tariffs and in direct contradiction with established U.S. laws and policies. This was a direct slap in the face to the extreme nationalistic United States President and the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate. Technically illegal, the California government felt it had the moral right and responsibility to go against the federal government in this manner. This was uniformly seen in the international community as an act of goodwill by California, and the foreign support for this initiative was so strong, the United States government was hard-pressed to do anything about it. This was the start of the over 2-year standoff between the United States government and the state of California. The standoff, nicknamed the Great Golden Standoff, after California's famous nickname, was long, painful, and almost catastrophic, but ultimately led to the West Coast Disillusion Agreement.
On the next episode of Bellatopia.
Among the many missions that came out of the Apollo applications program, one of the most amazing was the Venus flyby mission. Imagine using the same Apollo technology that brought us to the moon for a mission to fly by the planet Venus. Humans traveling to another planet in our solar system. In real life, funding for this mission never materialized. It wasn't even close. Yes, there was some actual planning that went into a proposed mission, and some early plans were created, but no serious program was ever budgeted. Given the significant budget cuts, it didn't really even have a chance. That was in the real world, but this is not the real world. In Bellatopia, there was a Venus flyby mission. It happened, and it was successful. But it wasn't without its problems. The Christmas miracle saved the mission, and the astronauts, but doomed the rest of the program. Coming up, the Venus flyby mission, on the next episode of Bellatopia.
In this season of Bellatopia,
what if the early space program was fully funded, fully supported, and ultimately financially viable?
This is the space race.
This season on Bellatopia.
Are you enjoying our vision of the world of Bellatopia? For more information, please check out our website at bellatopia.com. That's bellitopia.com. Until next time, enjoy our world.